All right, let's see if we have Lance here.
Good morning, Patrick.
Oh, what a thing. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good and warm.
That's right. So how's things up there at Lance's garden?
Oh, they're growing away. The squash and melons and cucumbers and pole beans love this kind of weather.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Because it's hot and
it's
cool
hot
at
and the
night?
The soil temperature is warm, and if you can keep the moisture to them, they just grow.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it'll probably be the last time that I can hoe around the squash and the pole beans and the winter squash, that is. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They're just getting so big that I won't be able to get in there.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Yeah.
What else you got going on?
Well, I stopped watering all my garlic because I want it to dry out. And I actually harvested the soft-necked garlic yesterday.
How long do you wait before you start harvesting after you stopped watering?
Well, it's when that fourth leaf is on the stalk is starting to dry up.
Mm-hmm.
So they're at 2 or 3, and so it'll probably be next week, by next weekend, that I'll harvest those guys.
Just the soft-necks or just any of them that show that fourth leaf?
Any of them that show that fourth leaf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I don't know why the soft-necks harvested so early, seemingly early, because normally I do the hard-necks. So I seem to do the hard-necks before I do the soft-necks. But that frost, I think that frost that we had, there was one really hard one.
Mm-hmm.
The soft-necks did not like that at all. The hard-necks were fine, but for whatever reason, at least in my garden, that's what happened.
You're a little bit, you're up there around 6,500 square
feet. Well, 62. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, and let's see, what else? I planted my kale and cabbage and they for a fall crop, and they came up in about 5 days.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty fast to see that. And let's see. Oh, God, my last bed of carrots is thinned and weeded, and that's really nice because 4 beds of carrots with, 6 rows of carrots and a 50 feet long, that's a lot of thinning.
And you've got all those harvested except for this last bed?
No, they're all thinned.
Oh, they're all thinned.
No, I'm not harvesting yet.
Okay.
And
got a question here from a listener.
Okay.
The listener says, what is the reason for rust on their grapes?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, anyways, well, I looked that up.
Oh.
And, you know, when we were talking yesterday, I went ahead and looked that up. We do a little bit of preparing for these things, if we can. And I couldn't find any rust on grapes.
So that's not what it is?
No. One of the things that it could be is mildew.
Hmm.
And,
is that from too much watering?
No. Mildew is actually, there's a couple different types. And it actually is from the leaves of the plant being dusty, and the mildew spores can attach themselves to the leaves and therefore become established. We think of mildew as in a moist climate, but
mm-hmm.
There's mildew for also for dry climates.
Hmm.
And usually you spray at bud break, sulfur or something that's good for sulfur, for mildew.
Mm-hmm.
And you spray it twice, one at bud break. And you can do that on apples, get mildew too. And
what are you spraying with again?
Sulfur.
Sulfur?
Sulfur is the common thing to use.
Does that go into a liquid form or is it a dust?
It's a it's a wettable powder.
I see.
And you can get it at any farm supply place.
Mm-hmm. So perhaps the listener has just some discoloration on their grape leaves.
Mm-hmm. It could be just soil, and it's a mineral problem. Grapes are really sensitive to that. And you might have, there are books, sorry to say, I can't find mine, that actually has photographs of mineral deficiencies in different plants and how they show up.
Mm-hmm.
So you could research that part there too.
We could have contributors like Yvonne at LaRue Creek call us in and give us what his take would be.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing is just when the tendrils, you know what the tendrils are in grapevines?
Sure.
Yeah, when those start to dry up,
mm-hmm.
it means they're not getting enough water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you might take a look at that, too.
That's a good indication.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What else do you have going on there?
Just some things I've started harvesting. I got the softneck garlic, the mulberries, and so the birds and I and probably a few squirrels and raccoons are having a good time getting mulberries. And the raspberries are just starting.
How are your potatoes doing?
The potatoes are doing good. Harvesting potatoes and new potatoes.
You're harvesting your potatoes now?
Oh, just as I want to eat them.
Mm-hmm.
This is just early crop. I planted them in early April. And I didn't even mulch them knowing that I was going to take them at, not for full-size potatoes, but just new potatoes. So they were from, you know, a large marble all the way up to almost a baseball size.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very nice and very colorful when they first come out of the ground like that. They're quite, the skin color's quite bright.
So what's an indication when you're looking at your potato plants to determine if it's time that you can consider harvesting them?
Well, when the potatoes start blooming, and potatoes do have flowers,
mm-hmm.
and not all of them, mm-hmm. you know, but they do flower, and some flower more than others. But when they start to flower, that means they're starting to make potatoes. And maybe in a week afterwards, if you want to sort of stick your finger down there and see if there's any potatoes starting to form, which is what I did a week or so ago. And I thought I'm just going to let those go a little bit longer. And so they're ready, and they have enough potatoes. Well, we had a friend here yesterday, and we dug one hill, and that was enough potatoes for two people. Of course, we like potatoes.
You're right, we do.
So maybe it was really enough for three or four, but we ate them all.
Do you have any idea what the average yield is per plant?
Oh, not per plant. It's for every pound of seed potato that you buy, you should be able to get 10 pounds of potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, so per plant, I wouldn't know, but unless I actually took a 1 pound of seed potato and planted it out and then kept track of the harvest.
Okay, now when the flowers come on, you can just let it go as long as you want to determine how large you want the potatoes to be when you dig them up.
Yeah, the flower is just an indication of starting production, mm-hmm. root production and stuff. But I leave the main crop in until October. I'll stop watering those guys in September.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just leave them in the ground, let the ground dry out, and then I'll harvest them sometime in October.
And what's your water rotation now on them?
About every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A good saturation?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else you got going up there?
I'm trying to think what else I got going on. Like I said, the last time, and I did start to harvest carrots. And, I know what I have here. Lots and lots of birds, mainly robins.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some other smaller birds that really like to eat for whatever reasons. They really like the bachelor button seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So they're flitting around all over, wherever there's bachelor buttons. And, you know, I always worry I'm not going to have any seed hit the ground, but there's always plenty of bachelor buttons next year.
Yeah, they seem to get them spread around.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's everything for today.
Sounds good.
Like to thank you for calling in and for the listeners' input on their questions. And we'll be giving you a talk. Donna will be talking to you next week.
Yeah, sounds good. You guys have a good day.
You too, Lance. Bye-bye now.